Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Arr, ahoy, crew members.
Today's show is a service of our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this show. Thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I am not an overtly political guy, but I like to keep my eye on people. And when they say something that rubs me the wrong way, I want to get to the bottom of it. And
This is
lucky that this fellow is with us today, because Oscar is not here. And I want to get to the bottom of something with a presidential candidate leading in the polls, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Ben Carson.
Greetings.
How are you, Ben?
I'm well.
May I call you Ben, or shall I call you Doctor? What do you like? I forget.
You can call me Dr. Carson.
Dr. Carson.
Dr. Carson would probably be what I would appreciate you referring to me as until I, of course, I eventually would find it amusing. I would eventually be very happy to be called Mr. President. That's why I'm running for president right now, because I would eventually like to be
very nearly a joke there. Are you okay? Can I get you a latte or something?
No, I'm perfectly okay. My schedule is a little bit overwhelming.
I understand.
During these difficult times, there's something I'll tell you about running for president.
Are they running you ragged?
You go all the time. The schedule is rather. I find the schedule to be rather daunting.
Yes,
but that is part of the process. Being an arduous journey separates the candidates. You know, I think there perhaps is a lot of talk from some of the other candidates about energy, and that, of course,
Mr. Trump calls you low energy.
Well, I don't believe I am. I don't think.
Really?
I don't think you can stand in an operating room for as long as I have without having a relatively significant amount of stamina.
So you have a lot of stamina, you have energy, and you're going to be president of the United States.
Well, no, I'm not making, I don't, unlike some...
I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I'm just trying to be succinct.
Okay. Unlike some of the other candidates, I'm not going to talk about what's going to happen. I'm just going to say that I think that I would be qualified. But to predict that's why I'm not big on polls either. I think it's just the...
You're leading in the polls.
Which I'm gratified that is the case.
You're gratified.
But I will tell you, I don't make bombastic predictions as far as what I'm going to... I'll leave that up to some...
You're fading off there, Dr.
Carson. I'm sorry. I dropped off for a second.
Do you want to mention any other candidates by name?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I would. No.
Oh,
no,
so
I wouldn't.
The answer
I will leave the predictions up to some of the other candidates. Because what good does it do to predict the future
Dr.
at this
Carson,
point?
Dr. Carson, I'm over here. You need to look at me. So no.
What
over here.
What does it do?
No, you're looking. I'm right here. I'm waving my hands. Oh, no, close your eyes. I don't want to look at that. Rolling around in your head. You look like H.R. Puff and stuff.
What good does it do?
Horribly crossed eyes.
What good does it do? What good does it do to predict the future when you're not sure what the future is going to bring?
So true.
I'm more focused on learning from the past and understanding.
Still talking about
the,
this,
huh? Some of the historical implications.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Because if I can interject
here. What did I bring
up?
I forgot.
Historical implications.
Oh, okay.
Can you put on, you don't happen to have sunglasses, do you? That might help me out. For the first time in recent memory, a topic in the presidential candidacy that is trending are the pyramids of Egypt.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
where you commented.
Hold on. I think it's important to point out that the press once again is taking a very small part of a speech.
Was it a gotcha question?
And but it's a gotcha moment. And you like so many members of the media, want to twist my words and put things in my mouth that I did not say.
I don't want to put anything in your mouth.
I had a theory about the pyramids, and I I believe in certain things that probably many of you don't. And
well,
I'm
it's
fine
been
with
proven.
That.
It's been proven by archaeologists by reading the writings in the pyramid walls that they were graves. They were.
I think everything is subject to interpretation.
What is and you and believe think, that they were? For
I believe
storing...
that Joseph made the pyramids to keep grain in, because if you read the Bible, which I'm sure you don't, but I do.
Yeah.
And that's why I eventually will put you in prison. Wait a second. That's joke. I make.
Oh, another one of his very near jokes.
I would never do that. I think that would.
You
got to
sell those jokes, baby.
That would be just a bit overreaching, which I. Something I don't want to do, but no, that's what I believe.
And you believe not, that this is
and
your
you
belief.
Want me to back, that's what I believe. It's a theory, and just like scientists, you know, believe that the pyramids were built by aliens.
Archaeologists.
Scientists don't believe anything about aliens, and science isn't really belief. I mean, science is fact.
There are so many things that science can't explain.
Like, can you?
That's what you don't realize, and I do. And I,
for
I
example,
why,
how
can,
you're leading in the polls.
I think that's now that's I
now that's a
that
joke right there.
I know you make jokes, but right. That's and I will. So I will take your unkindness, and I'm file it in. I'll make a note. I have a yellow. Hold on.
Here we go.
Yellow notepad.
He brought a notepad here. With him.
Rob's it was a Rolodex.
Having a hard time finding it?
Highly unkind.
Unkind. Oh, well, that's
characterizing you.
What if it was what it really was? I was paying an homage. I was just being lighthearted and fun.
Some of my theories don't hold with modern thinking.
But these are your beliefs.
They are my beliefs. I feel that way. There are many wonders that we have in.
For example, thinking, let's go over to Europe. I know as a president, you would have to travel to Europe. Are you familiar with the Leaning Tower?
I've been to Europe. I've traveled to Europe. I've spoken in Europe.
I'm not saying that you haven't. I'm just saying that you will, no doubt.
Okay. Well, hopefully I will. I'll travel the world.
As president.
I think it's important to get to know people in the world and share my beliefs and my ideas with them.
Do you think this would be an opportune time during the interview now as opposed to earlier to predict that you're going to be president?
That's not what I do. And if you want me to do that, you've got the wrong candidate.
Well, I think a lot of people do.
No, I think it's what good would it do for me to you know?
Do you think you can win big?
I don't get in. I have to tell you, you're starting to annoy me. Because
that's not my intention.
I'm not making predictions.
All right. What is your belief? Let's say you're over in Europe and you're president or you're not, and you see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Why is the Leaning Tower of Pisa there? What's the deal with that?
Well, if you read the Bible, which I'm sure you probably should, it's very interesting.
It is, you know, quite literally the good book.
I think if you read the Bible, you'd be surprised at some things that are in there that you would find fascinating. But when Noah flooded when the flood came, the 40 days and 40 nights.
40 nights,
Italy was not exempt from the flood. As a matter of fact, the fact that it's the Italy boot that goes out into the sea, that one of the first places to fill up with water was Italy, and Noah actually hit that particular tower with his boat.
Really?
With his ark.
Yeah.
Causing it. And then when the floods receded and everyone was dead, the tower stayed because it was made of stone and it stayed in one place but it was decidedly different because it leaned.
Noah hit that
tower with his ark. Why do you think it's leaning?
But are you also saying that Italy held more water because it was shaped like a boot?
No, Italy flooded first because it goes out into the ocean.
Oh, it juts out into the ocean.
It goes out into the ocean.
You see, I'm learning so much here. I didn't believe that the Leaning Tower was so old.
Well, you read the Bible and then go see the tower and tell me.
All right, how about
you actually see the marks where the ark hit it?
They haven't fixed them yet.
No, it's a tourist attraction.
Of course. All right, what about speaking of tourist attractions, right in our backyard? How about the Washington Monument? What's the deal with that?
Oh, the Washington Monument. Yeah, I've been to Washington many times. Spaceship. It's a spaceship.
What's a spaceship?
No. Look, this is not a biblical theory. This is actually, if you were to go to the Washington Monument and not be like every other tourist and really be observant.
Yes.
And look around the base of it, you'd see that there's some excavation that's been done. And I would venture to say, this is a theory, this is a personal theory of mine, that if you dug deep, you would find the residue of the metal that was used in the engines to explore space.
You know what?
I'd rather not talk more about this.
I understand. But, you know, speaking of the monument, you'll see it a lot when you become president. Are you willing to predict that you're going to be president in 2016?
I'm not going to get into the business of making predictions. I like talking about some of these personal theories that some
your
might
beliefs.
Find outlandish, but other people might say, well, you know, I never really thought that I'd take a trip on a school field trip to Washington Monument and dig at the site. They might throw me out.
What do you believe about the Grand Canyon?
They're still digging it.
What?
Who are?
They're still digging it. The trolls.
The trolls. So the Grand Canyon was dug by trolls?
It's being dug by trolls. It's
still
deeper
happening.
And deeper.
How will they know when they're done?
Well, why don't you go out sometime instead of just being like everybody else standing on the edge, take one of the donkeys down to the bottom and see if you can find the shovels.
Have you ever done the donkey
yes,
thing?
Yes, I've seen evidence of excavation at the bottom, and I think it's done by trolls. It's a personal belief of mine.
You believe this? Do you believe the trolls will vote for you?
I'm looking at my watch. I don't have much time.
Oh, okay, let's
to
move
get
on.
Through. If you have any other questions,
yeah. How about
for
the
me,
Great Wall of China? Do you have any beliefs about the Great Wall of China?
Oh yes, I do. The Chinese demanded privacy.
and they earned it, I suppose. What about the Eiffel Tower?
A swim platform.
A swimming platform.
There's a swimming platform. When did we have a flood? The French, when Noah flooded the world, the French
were so. Of course.
Everyone that knows anything about the French knows they like good food and they like women and they enjoy not worrying about big problems. Am I right about that? So as the waters were rising, they said, oh, ooh la la.
What did they say?
They said, ooh la la. We don't need to worry about this water. We can use the top of the Eiffel Tower as a swim platform, so they'd row their boats out and swim.
What a curious timeline.
Boy, you were they in trouble.
Speaking of water, I think one of the modern wonders of the world is the fountains in front of the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas.
That's
you ever seen
one
them?
Of the amazing natural springs in Nevada. That is just wonderful. It's amazing
desert.
How you can set your watch to it. You can set your watch to that natural spring that goes through.
Okay, and let's say you look up in the sky. Do you have any beliefs about the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights?
Oh, the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. My personal belief is that every Christmas tree light gives off a spirit.
A spirit?
And at Christmas time. So if you put lights in your yard or on your house, and especially if they flash.
Yes.
And if the lights, then the spirit of that light will go into the sky and later on come back at any time of year, not necessarily just Christmas Eve.
Does a menorah contribute to that?
No.
What about the Hollywood sign, Dr. Carson?
The Hollywood sign was, this is interesting. My personal belief is that John Wayne, who was a great American.
One of the best.
Used one of his horses that he used in his movies and carried the letters individually up when he would go for rides in the morning.
Wow, what year was that?
I don't know.
You don't know, but it is your belief.
Exactly.
It is your belief. One of my favorite things, if you're ever in northern New York, to go see Niagara Falls. It's just stunning.
Niagara Falls is a staging area for the Day of Reckoning. That's when the Lord is going to carry us all home.
Oh, wow.
And he knows that we would be thirsty if we were waiting a long time, if the timing wasn't just right. And so he said, how about Niagara Falls? Look at all that water. And nobody will be thirsty, and they can wait for it. If I'm a little late, if my ships are my ships for the reckoning are running late, that you can
they're running
the water
late?
And have it.
Yes. Like there's traffic or something?
Yeah, well, you know, you can laugh all you want, but
I will.
These are personal beliefs, and I defy anyone to show me.
You
the,
believe
the,
this
the
stuff,
officer.
Yeah.
Yes,
one last, do you have time for one last question? No, time is of the essence.
Absolutely.
What about the moon?
Well, I don't think we need to. It's so close to our planet, and you can look up and see it every time there's
sure.
a full moon, and it's beautiful.
Yes.
And it's beautiful, and I know from the bottom of my heart that someday, if the technology is there, I'd love to visit the moon.
Really?
And, what they didn't tell you, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong and all of the other, is that when they were gathering samples, they brought the samples back, and they were hidden because no one wanted to know what the real truth is that I believe. It
you
might
believe?
Be a conspiracy. Yes.
What is your belief? Yeah.
It's made of cheese.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hey, look here, fellas. You guys gonna have to order from the drive-thru menu.
What happened to the White Castle?
What?
There used to be a White Castle right here in this location. Where is it?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, guys, but Burger Shack, they bought this location about 4 years ago.
Please tell me there's another White Castle in town.
No.
Are you sure?
Do I look like the kind of brother that would be unsure about something like that?
Should we just eat here?
Hey, psst. There's a White Castle that's open 24 hours up in Cherry Hill. It's about 45 minutes from here.
I can make the trip if you're willing to.
Kamar, I got a shitload of work to finish.
Ding dong. May I interject for a second? As a Burger Shack employee for the past 3 years, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that if you're craving White Castle, the burgers here just don't cut it. In fact, just thinking about those tender little White Castle burgers, those little itty-bitty grilled onions that just explode in your mouth like flavor crystals every time you bite into one, just makes me want to burn this motherfucker down. Come on, Boogie, let's burn this motherfucker down! Come on! You guys maybe should just suck it up and go to White Castle.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you are here, you do too. Our show today is brought to you by Vistaprint. We love Vistaprint. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to the barber shop today to see my wonderful bodybuilding 75-year-old barber.
Man or woman?
He's a... It is a man,
oh,
Rob.
Oh, cool. Okay. Got a lot of core strength.
Man,
yeah.
Rob.
Yeah, Rob.
And I plan on rolling over there with some of my Vistaprint business cards. I'm going to hand them out. And you should hand them out, too. It's old school. It's great. You can get 500 business cards for $9.99 when you enter the promo code TMOS at checkout. 500 cards for under 10 bucks. Trust me, there is nothing greater than whipping out a beautiful Vistaprint card to make a first impression with the client. You can upgrade to their signature stock, add a fancy finish, go double-sided, or even raise print. Vistaprint does it all. They even do banners, apparel, flyers, postcards, invitations, anything you need for a home or business. That's why I'll be rolling into the barbershop and going, look, you asked me last time, what do I do?
Hey, here, thanks for the card, brother.
Now, my card says, listen and you'll get it. And I just found that to be a very curious thing to hand to people because they look at it and they see MikeOmarishow.com and we roll like that. So remember, get your Vistaprint card. It's 500 cards, $9.99. That is one of the best deals in the biz. Just visit Vistaprint.com, create the card, use promo code TMOS at checkout, and that's it. Don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today. ABC, always be closing.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's the Rob and Mike Show today. Oscar is getting educated, and we recommend that highly. And, you know, it's just the thing about politics is I've made a decision that I'm so overwhelmed with all of it.
It's too much right now.
I just think, the only time you're going to hear us do politics on the show, and this, I believe this with all my heart, is when it's fun.
Shtick.
And the Ben Carson thing, look, I went back and I watched it. I actually watched the speech, and it was just, you know, I think. Really, to give him the benefit of the doubt, I think in a way he was kind of speaking about the Bible. I don't know what group he was addressing. It looked like it was some sort of commencement. He might have been preaching.
I'm not sure. Was the TMOS fan club. He had been booked by Stephen Douglas McIntyre.
But at the same time, that's fun. That, to me, when you get stuff like that from these candidates, a lot of fun. So that's all I'm going to say.
That's what he believes.
On that. Now, we open the show today with Rob Spiewak. Something happened to you. What exactly?
Well, no, I had a return engagement. The JV and freshman football teams for...
You talked about this a little bit,
A little bit, yeah. At Julia's school, her high school, you know, she's a freshman this year. They play on Thursday night. Varsity plays on Friday night. And they needed an announcer for the JV and freshman games.
And I said, I know you've done this. Maybe you did this one other time.
One other time. That's right. And you know who got me in is Kristen Chubbuck because she runs the entire town of Leesburg. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kristen. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chubbixes. Yes, we all love the Chubbixes. So you've never met a microphone that you don't
no,
like.
No, and you know what? It. And to be quite fair, wouldn't you agree that there is no greater thrill than going on to a great PA system for a big, big arena? I mean, it's
I
cool.
would say that's true, but at the same time, I believe that you would be handicapped with your lack of enthusiasm.
Oh my God.
Stop that, Rob.
No, I'm
Stop.
Sorry.
What are you doing? My God. Come on, where are we? Seventh grade, for Christ's sake?
No, last
Come
night
on.
I was in ninth grade. But no,
you're handicapped with your lack of knowledge and not really knowledge, because you can learn anything. You fake it more than anybody fakes it.
Thank you.
But as far
That's what
as
Harry says,
but your lack of enthusiasm for sport.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
you know,
you hate it. You have loathing for
but
sports.
But you
games.
Know what? For sitting and watching a sports game and doing something that is part of the production of the sports game, it's different. And I
but,
do
you know,
understand
if you were
the
to
rules
really, if,
a little bit.
If you were to go up in the PA booth and give the real Rob to the people that are running along the sidelines, it would be something like, oh, look at that big, strong guy.
Yeah.
Boy, I bet he's going to get the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, jump up and down. Jump up and down because it's so special.
What I would say is that, yeah.
I bet you don't show enthusiasm for that when you get a good SAT score.
Number 12 with the carry, and he's now going to go beat up one of the theater arts students.
but
you
do it because you love broadcasting.
I love
right?
broadcasting, and also I was asked to come in because they needed someone, and Kristen, the Chubbixes are good friends. I did it as a favor. I was hesitant the first time. Stop that.
Are they?
Stop right, that. Okay. I was hesitant the first time, but I realized that I'm up there. Actually, Mr. Chubbix was working as my spotter because—
Is this the high school football game?
Yeah. It was. We did the freshman game at 5:30, and I think at 7 o'clock we did the JV game. And
so you haven't graduated to the varsity yet?
No, but, you know, I jokingly told Julia before she started at school, I said, you know, by your senior year, I want to be calling the varsity games. And she said, Dad, please don't. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. And that
okay,
was enough
now,
to
why,
make
now,
me want to do
say,
it.
So what's the deal? Why is there? First of all, there's probably not the same kind of crowd for the JV.
No.
I mean,
it was,
everybody shows
it was,
up. Friday night is the
Friday
the varsity,
night is the
right?
big one, right? But you know what? After having Julia come to me, come to the games twice, right? She's into it now. But
let
I think she was afraid I would embarrass her, you know, when I originally
Let me give
did.
You the, this is the Kettle Run where my daughters went when I went to Kettle Run High School. This is the Kettle Run PA announcer when I used to go to football games
right.
when the girls were in school. I'd say,
third down, 5 yards to go, Fluvanna. Fluvanna has the ball on the 45-yard line, Fluvanna.
Used to drive me out of my mind. I hated this guy.
And this is a pretty easy gig because you're not doing play-by-play. As a matter of fact, you're not allowed to do play-by-play. You essentially do the statistics, the field position, the time, and stuff like that. You do get to introduce the national anthem. Now, Mike, I did bring some tape. You requested some tape. So,
of you doing the announcing?
So this is the opening last night for the freshman game.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Tuscarora High School, where tonight the JV football teams host the Spartans of Broad Run High School. As members of the Potomac District Conference 14 and the Virginia High School League, we remind you of the high standards of sportsmanship we expect from those in attendance towards the participants and officials for today's contest. Tuscarora High School encourages
sportsmanship
and behavior at our activities. Please encourage players and coaches with positive comments and acts, and respect the decisions of the game officials. What you do and say during the contest reflects on your team.
None of this scripted, by the way.
Oh my God!
No,
stop it! Hold on.
Damn.
So you have to go up and you have to give that big speech
before each game.
Sportsmanship and
yeah,
do all
I think
that?
I think it is probably a countywide thing because it is a script they hand you and you have
all right,
to.
Let
do
me
it.
Just tell this. My mind's racing right
please,
now.
Please,
you need to roll out. Have you been to a varsity game yet?
Yes, I've been to two
school?
Of them. Two of them, and they're
so,
great, and they are
so
packed.
So let's talk about the competition. What's the who's the dude?
The dude.
You know, when I go to the spring training games at JetBlue Park down here in Florida and listen to my competitor,
yes.
which he will always be.
Well, the enemy, Mike. He's the enemy.
He's totally the enemy. And I haven't gone so far as to call the president of operations for the Boston Red Sox and say, I live here now. I haven't done that. I haven't done that. But at the same time, I am always curious about that. So tell me about.
He's
Is he an old guy?
No, he is probably roughly my age, maybe a little older. But here's the deal: for the last 4 or 5 years, he's had kids at the school. But
what's he got? Nine kids? Is he a Duggar?
He's not a Duggar,
Rob.
It is according to what I asked last night, he no longer has kids in the school this year. So next year is the time for me to make the play.
It's you.
Time for
they're grooming you for everything.
And I this is gonna be great. It's called Mercedes Leather.
They're grooming you for the whole thing.
Now here's the thing. The first time I went, this is what's gonna get me in. The first
sounded
time,
good, by the way.
Thank
I have
you.
To say this. I would critique you, and Lord knows I have in the past.
I've never heard it. Well, in here, and just for example, here's a little of the play-by-play, and he's an idea. I'm not saying Fluvanna, but here's the play-by-play that I did.
Well, you're waiting for that.
Okay, you're in. And Usef Rafikzai. Luke Lindenfelder with the return.
You can hear the cheerleaders.
Pass incomplete, intended for number 5, Jaden Brooks.
Maybe 250 people
now,
there.
Do you have a spotter that tells you
yes,
who
I
it
do.
Is? Or
Rob Chubbuck.
Number 9,
oh, Bob Chubbuck.
Owen Carey. Touchdown, Tuscarora Huskies.
It's not Tuscarora, though, right? That's the competition.
No, Tuscarora Huskies.
Tuscarora is the high school?
Team, and we were playing this... the Broad Run Spartans is
what
we're playing.
What a great name for a school, Tuscarora.
Tuscarora, and I think it's a 5-year-old school, so that's why they're starting now. The original class has graduated, and it's a great gig. The way I'm going to get myself in there is the first time I went in, I was a little hesitant, and the guy that sort of runs stuff says, "Did you bring any music?" I said, "Well, no, I thought I would just be reading." And so the second time, I did bring my iPad. And we had music for timeouts and music at the end of the quarter, and it sounded great. I'm very proud of this. Check this out.
At the end of the first quarter, Tuscarora 14, Broad Run Spartans 0.
That's you playing that?
Yeah, I had my soundboard up there.
You're having a blast.
It was a blast.
You're having so much fun.
And what was so great about it is that it was a, you know, the stadium is pretty big. It's a big high school. But there was maybe a total of 250, 300 people total, both sides. So it was loud.
Do the powers that be to make these decisions, like the JV people, the same people that run the JV run the varsity, right? Is it the same bureau that does this?
All one department, as a matter of
fact. Do they know your history? Do they know that you were a PA announcer at FedEx Field for the NFL Washington Redskins?
As long as we don't get to the end of that story, they did. But tackle number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson! Thank God none of that last night. My voice did not fail me.
Did that come out okay?
That was excellent. That was excellent.
Very good. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. But you know what?
I don't want to hurt anybody that's listening. That would hurt. Was that as painful as I thought it was down here?
No, it was a little more painful on this end because not only was it loud, but I hate it.
Emotional.
But you know, I've got Robert who will be starting his freshman year next year. So I've got kids at this school for the next 5 years. So this is the time for me to make the play and get in there.
This guy, this competition,
this dude
that had the kids, that's doing it an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you just listen. You're not a guy that's that coldly ambitious where you would know all the details, but do you get the vibe? There are certain guys that dig it so much they don't want to let go, they don't want to give it up, or is he just helping people out?
I didn't hear, you know what? When I heard him at the last game that I was at, I didn't hear the fire in his voice. I didn't hear it. And I will tell you one thing.
Has he got a good voice? Has he got a good broadcasting voice?
He's probably, compared to me, second best guy for the job.
And by the way, I would be more than happy to write a letter of recommendation.
You know what? I will call on you for that. And actually, for those of you listening who want to know how that's going to work out, Mike will sign what I write.
I will. Because this is, I know how much joy. Do you know how many people would go into a JV outside of like a kid that's already in high school?
Sure.
Who would go into a JV football game with that level of enthusiasm? And then you're mixing the audio up there. You got to do the varsity. We have to get Rob to the varsity.
Not till
Julius is a senior. No, we get Rob to the varsity next year.
Next year, you are
in the varsity, and then you keep the gig for decades.
For decades, that's right. I'll be. Who's the guy that used to do the Yankees?
At shortstop,
Derek Jeter.
That's
I don't remember the guy's name.
I want
name.
To be that guy. But name. I did do something. We got to doing a joke with him is that sometimes when the home team would make a good play, I would say the last name second. A second time, so it would be like.
Do you have any of that?
I didn't. No, I didn't, because there was. I'm like, the file was. It was 2 hours long. It was an entire game. But for example,
thank you for recording that. I appreciate that.
For example, if Matt Bloom was playing running back,
yeah, right. How would you call his touchdown?
Okay. I would say the touchdown, a 14-yard run by number 17 for Tuscarora, Matthew Bloom. Bloom. And it got so great because, you know, it was a small enough crowd and all the windows in the press box were open. I could hear direct reaction from the crowd. It's such a great time. And
well, I missed your competition. So, you know, you got to roll into those varsity games now.
Yes.
With little either mental notes or taking a little note and just go, this is the way he's doing it. I'll take the good that he does, and I'll throw out the bad that he does, and then I'll bring my spiewack enthusiasm.
And when I see him at some sort of parent night, I'll say, "Hey, good to see you. Maybe you should have thought about bringing in an iPad. You know, just a little music."
Hey, stand over here by the fan. All right, very good. How are you feeling? We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun. Speaking of the sick, we have the sick house here at
O'Mara
Central, my little guy. Tell you all about that. And more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
On the regular show this week, Oscar came in one day. He said, I got to tell you about this. I said,
oh, amazing.
He said, no, it's on the bonus show. It's got to be on the bonus show. It won't work on the regular show.
Okay, so I have a good friend that for some time she's been single, right?
Okay.
And she finally met this guy that's super cool, super awesome. She said to me that she just started dating this guy, and there is a dynamic here that when he gets hammered, he... said,
is that a dynamic?
Maybe this is what he gets off, like, because she was
so he didn't in the bed, he on her.
Yes.
This is a category.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
You know anybody that's on the fence about the bonus show? Let me tell you something. That's a great tease. You don't know what this guy did. We do. You don't. You got to listen to the bonus show today.
It's
great. To know exactly what we're talking
about. What a fun ride yesterday was.
And trust me, you will not be disappointed. Or maybe you really will. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
To be clear, you'll be disappointed in humanity, but not in the bonus show.
Wow, I'm still thinking about that. I still got goosebumps. Welcome back to the show, brought to you by FrameBridge. Do you have a million photos around your house, in your phone, in your computer, and not one of them is framed? Well, you can fix that thanks to FrameBridge.com. They can frame anything. I got the most beautiful picture of my son, Michael, framed at FrameBridge, and I think the total time I spent was probably 6 minutes getting this done.
It's
so easy, and I love the results. Go to FrameBridge.com, choose your frame, upload your artwork, preview it, buy it, and if you can't upload it, no worries. You can mail it to FrameBridge absolutely free. They do every kind of framing. Your frame piece will arrive to your door ready to hang, and the hardware and the work they do on the back for framing to hang these on the walls, absolutely better than anything you could do at home. I believe that, and I've never seen better hardware on the back of a frame.
Oh, the way that you showed us yesterday, they've got the eye hooks, the string for hanging. They've got the backing on the frame. It's gorgeous.
They're pros. They have lots of framing options from classic to eclectic. You got to try FrameBridge, especially with this offer. 15% off your first order and free shipping when you use the code TMOS. This is an amazing deal, but it's only available this week. Go to FrameBridge.com. Find your favorite frame from their curated collection. Upload your art or mail it in for free. Preview your art in its custom frame, then enter the code TMOS at checkout and get 15% off and free shipping. Then receive your beautiful custom art ready to hang. Don't wait. This offer ends this week only. So remember that. Go to FrameBridge.com. Do it today and use the TMOS code and save. Yeah. So I roll. Let me see. Is it after the show? Where was I when I found out that
you were? It was between the regular and the bonus, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yesterday.
You'll hear me reference it on the bonus show this week that my my little guy, the first week of preschool, didn't make it to his third day of preschool today because he was spiking a fever yesterday.
Is he still going to Lil Ear Infection Academy?
He's going to Pink Eye Towers.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's where he goes to
Petri
Conjunctivitis
Corner.
Lane. Little Conjunctivitis Lane, where all the little kids pick their noses, wipe it on the counter, and let the other boys come in.
Is he still being taught by Lady Petrie?
Yeah,
kids. Mrs. Petrie. Yeah. Mrs. Petrie.
Okay, kids, we're going to go on the rotavirus nature walk right after this. Should be a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy yourselves. So he, look, it could be anything. It could be teething.
That's a high fever. That's high for a teething fever, though.
Well, it's not no longer high. So the fact is he's sleeping right now, and it's down to 101. And hopefully it's going to continue to go down. He's on medication. You know, Carla was on the phone all day with the nurse. You learn when you have a little guy that when they spike a fever, you don't throw him in the car immediately and run to the doctor or run to the ER. You don't do that when you learn that because it happens all the time. And, you know, when I did that, I think when he was really little, he might have had a fever.
Sure.
And, you know, you get that vibe from the doctors if you run to them with any kind of fever. Yeah, he's got a fever. Give him this. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. It's not uncommon.
We had a total reversal with Robert. Now, because, you know, we learned that with Julia, who was our oldest, that a fever, sometimes you just have to let him ride it out because it kills whatever is, you know, whatever the body is fighting.
Yeah, and I hear the thing about building up immunity, but it doesn't take away from the fact that
it's miserable.
And he's got these apple cheeks where, you know, he's just like, they look like welts on his cheeks.
And there's an amazing thing with kids when they get a fever, their hair begins to defy gravity. It almost looks like pipe cleaners. It bends up. Am I right?
So straight up. Yeah, you saw. And he had the pictures you saw with him.
Yeah, exactly. So he had orange Cheeto fingers, and his hair was sticking up like there's something about Mary. It was just horrible.
Let me just say a few things about my bride, and I don't do this very often on the show, but she...
Is it over?
It's over, yes. Okay. I said this about Carla, you know, early on when we had Michael, that she is a natural, and she is so good at being a mom. And she is so much better than I am at dealing with him with illness because all I feel when I see my little guy sick, and I'm curious because your son was so ill for so long, Robin, and he came out on the other side and it was such a wonderfully happy story. But I feel as though I just want to take whatever is in that little beautiful body and transfer it to me and just make it stop. It absolutely eviscerates me.
Oh, it's
and
horrible.
I don't respond well. My whole family did that. I remember my dad used to get angry when people would get sick.
Right.
And I'm a guy, I think a lot of guys get kind of mad when they're saying, oh, man, damn it. You know, and you'll say things like, yeah, it's that school. That's
well,
what
you want to lay blame.
And it's useless. Shut up, Mike. Stop that. Carla, you know, by the time the second show was done being taped yesterday, Carla had already been on the phone with the nurse at the doctor's office, was on her way to get the supplies to have him, and he is sitting there late in the day when I ran out because you know at a certain point Carla's like, okay, he's gonna be fine, just go do something, go to your little golf store,
go
to your little
something.
Golf store and get out of the house. I come back, the little guy, and she posted pictures of this.
Adorable.
He is on the couch, he has his little water bottle. He is sitting there watching Dora the Explorer, and he has a bag of Cheetos. He has taken the right medication to calm his fever down, and he is happy as a pig in S.
Well,
and,
think back. I mean, I know you can't remember when you're three or, you know, nearly three, but I think back to some sick days when you got to stay home from school and you get propped up on the couch and you got television. It's not a bad memory.
It's the best.
It is pretty cool.
Well, he's just so little, and the communication thing is there. And so he had it. It was, you know, it was coming and going, and we're, you know, you try the Tylenol, then you try the ibuprofen, you try all the different things that, you know, the wonderful world of drugs. Never too early to get him started with that. But the cocktail seemed to work.
Good.
And when I say cocktail, I mean we gave him a very dry martini.
Exactly. But no olives. That's bad for his tummy.
He's so sweet. And then it was nighttime, and within an hour of putting him down, he was up again. And that's when I freak out because, you know, and then Then Mama calmed him down again, and she went off to dreamland, and I mentioned that my wife is Mother of the Year.
Sure.
Except when you wake her out of a deep sleep. That's when my angst about him waking up at 11 o'clock and her deep sleep, because she's got the monitor right next to her, and so you get the mommy, you know, it's like you can't get a more perfect mommy, and I'm like, oh god, and she's like, will you stop hemming and hawing like this, and she's like, you know, and then it became like, if you want to take care of it, he's going to be fine, and I'm like, okay, go back to sleep, honey, go back. Whoa. And I went into the room, because I just couldn't. And then I rubbed his little head, and he calmed down, and he wanted milk. And I'm like, okay, you know, I don't care what the doctors say, you know, in dairy inflammation. All these things are like, sure, running through my head. No, get the kid wants a cold glass of milk. I'm going to get him a cold glass of milk.
Sure.
So I take him out of his crib, and yes, he's still in the crib. I got my job this weekend is to break down the crib that turns into a regular bed, because he's crawling out of it, so he's ready for that now. And
Monday show should be fun. You'll be in a good mood.
I look forward to it. Try to get it done early in the weekend. You know,
if we can close the show now if you want to start now. I think
can
that might be.
Can you record it?
Yeah, can you record it?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to one of my wife's friend's husband's birthday party.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, that's another story. So anyway,
I can't make it, honey. I'm breaking down the crib.
Bye-bye. Have a good time. Bye-bye now. So I give him the milk. I take him back. I lay him down, and I'm just rubbing his forehead, and he goes off to dreamland.
Nice.
And then I go back to bed. I'm watching a little golf on the tube, a little golf channel, and he stirred one more time a little bit, and then he was good to go till about 4:30. Mom got up with him. Gave him a little, you know, lie down, rub the head, and he slept till 5:45, which is his normal.
Good.
And so he's a little, you know, he's a little overtired, and he's sleeping right now as we tape this show early on a Friday morning. But he's doing okay.
I will offer this to what you said earlier. When Robert, and for those of you who may not know, my son Robert is a cancer survivor, and he was in treatment for about 3 years. And it
pediatric leukemia is what he had.
And it was tough. It really was tough. But if people ask me, what was the toughest thing about the whole experience? It is, as a parent, learning to let go and realizing that you have to let the doctors do their thing, let the nurses do their thing.
Right.
Because for the first 2.5 years of his life, as your dad, as the dad, you just want to fix things.
Yep.
And you're presented with something you can't fix, and you face the same thing. There is nothing more frustrating, and there's nothing more heartbreaking. But once I was able to wrap my head around the fact that I've got professionals that this is what they do, and I let that part of it go, then it's a little more comforting. Then it's just you. I don't want to say it as this simple, but you go through the motions. You
it
do what they tell you,
two,
but it does it, rip you in two.
It rips me in two. And if I see anything on television with a child, if I see that, or I see somebody doing good for these kids that are in these children's hospitals, these incredible. You want to talk about a saint factory? You want to talk? Roll into a children's hospital sometime and check out the people that are part of that equation. The volunteers and the nurses and the doctors.
Preaching
and the people
to the choir, Mike.
I mean, that you go into one of those, but you know, if you're sitting there ever struggling about, I made a little extra money, want to give some money to charity, roll that into a children's hospital.
Please,
you can give your money to a better spot. They're really just incredible people, and it just
I'm still in touch with people that treated Robert. I'm still in touch with them. It's
one
like
of
10
the
years
greatest
later.
Moments in my career was when you brought your doctors in,
Dr. Greenberg.
It was right after we started doing the Mike O'Mara show,
very early on,
and on the radio, and we brought the doctors in that had treated Robert, and that was just I'll always remember that. It was a great day. So he's doing fine.
Good.
I have to toughen myself up. My wife was all over it.
Toughen yourself, Mike, because what you're suffering from is empathy, and that's no problem.
No,
but you just have to deal with it. You just have to deal with it.
It's empathy, but
tough.
It's not necessarily empathy for my wife when I, you know, I just
well,
tend
she's
to,
not a kid.
You know, she's not a kid. She can handle it.
I don't know about that either. She's younger.
I said, well, I hem and I haw sometimes, and I get frustrated when my kid is sick, but that's what you have to deal with your princess lifestyle, okay? That's the little payback right
and
there.
And you
that's
said, I'm going to Golfdom to hem and haw and look at drivers.
Oh, you know what? Hey, but get me to a golf store. That'll take
attaboy.
My golf thing.
Nice.
So I'm fine, but I can't afford anything anymore. Anyway, we'll take a break. And when we come back, can we do, is it? Do we have enough time to do the science Pete's quiz.
I think it might be perfect.
And, you know, another chance for you, because I picked on you when we were talking about the announcing. You can pick on me when you kick everybody's ass in the room.
Well, you see, the thing is I'll just have to administer it. But, yes, I did get 100 on it. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Look forward to that. We'll take a break, come back with more. This is the Friday Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm going to open up my FanDuel lineup right now because this segment of the program is brought to you by FanDuel. And I don't care. I'll share the wealth, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, wouldn't that be amazing if I got that particular lineup and because I shared it, it took away from my winnings?
Oh.
No, I'm sharing it right now because the fact is that what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is I am going to win, but I'll probably change my lineup right before
it happens. You're tricking everybody. You are such a complicated tapestry of sadness.
Hold on, I got to log in. All right, I got to do that.
What he's talking about, it's FanDuel.com/TMOS. That is our weekly football league. I think we have room for a few more this year. We take 300 a week.
A little bit.
$5 to get in, and you actually compete against me and Mike and Oscar. The money is real. The prizes are real. And here's the great thing about it, Pony. Mm-hmm. It's a one-week fantasy football league.
So you're not stuck
with any bad players, or you're not going to get stuck with someone in the bye week or something. You build your lineup, you stay under the salary cap. It is the best way to do it. I've gotten close to breaking even at times. Right. I've also finished 297th, but you know, any given Sunday, Mike.
They love beating us.
let me go down my lineup here. Now listen, I'm going to say this, and I mean this. This is full disclosure. Get into FanDuel right now. Did you read the required thing we have to read?
I did not read the requirement, Mike. I don't have the copy.
Let me give you my lineup. At quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, Philip Rivers.
Yes.
That's my QB for this weekend. My running back is from your New Orleans Saints, Mark Ingram.
Yes.
And from your New England Patriots,
Mark,
who are playing
Ingram.
The Washington Redskins this weekend, I'm going with Deion Lewis. So, sorry, Redskins fans, but just thought that that might work.
All the Washingtonians.
Because I got burned last week. Someone told me, one of my buddies that I've mentioned before on the show, told me to start Odell Beckham Jr. I didn't do it. I got completely burned. He had one of the greatest weeks in the season. I'm starting Odell Beckham Jr. because the Giants are playing Tampa Bay, and I think he's going to have two big games in a row.
Cool.
And but also, a little balance, I think that Mike Evans, you Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is going to have a good day, too. So that Tampa Bay-New York game, I'll be keeping my eye on that one, everybody. And then there's one that I have no idea who this guy is. I just put him in there because
Chris Hamburger?
A cheap wide receiver. Kenbrell Tompkins. I put him in my lineup.
Oh, yes, of course.
The New York Jets playing
Jacksonville. Probably one of my favorite Kenbrells in the league.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Here's a tight end I haven't used this season from your Tennessee Titans, Delanie Walker.
Delanie Walker.
I don't know, for Christ's sake, Rofo. Did you start him one time? Is that how you knew it was Delanie, or do you just have better knowledge of football than
I do? Just better knowledge, but that's okay.
Thank you very much. Delanie Walker from the Tennessee Titans, and then Chris Boswell, the kicker for Pittsburgh, and the Denver Broncos defense, which I think is... a lot of people are starting the Denver.
Mike, if I were you, I would start filling out the applications for a brand new bank account for all the money you're going to win.
Rofo, let me ask you, darling.
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think of that? What do you think of that little lineup that I threw out there?
Aside from the Kenbrell Tompkins, the no-name receiver, I think it's a winner. I really do.
Good.
Okay. He likes it.
Might not touch it. Might not touch it. Might not. Or might go to my emails that I get from my multiple sources. By the way, Rofo, no offense to you, but you know I'm kicking ass since I fired you as my general manager of my team. You know.
Well, see, I pushed you in that direction to a better source, so I take full credit for that.
No, you pushed me to the source? Oh, maybe you did. I don't know. There's so much going on with that every week.
Well, my failure caused you to go to another source.
Oh, that's it? Okay, that's a good way of looking at it. Just go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code TMOS, and sign up right now. We've got some slots open. And
Get in early.
It helps us with FanDuel. Well, it's not early. Now it's time. It's the weekend, so get to it. Don't be one of those Saturday people, all right? Get your lineup in there.
75 slots left.
Okay, so get in.
There are only 75 slots, so you have to do it today. Here's a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play.
That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code TMOS. Just remember to enter TMOS at fanduel.com. FanDuel, where every day is a new season. Sign up today. We have to look good for FanDuel, so fill that league up, people.
Please do.
That's the way we do it. Now, what am I? What, oh, you're playing the science.
Because you're doing the science quiz. No, science!
Okay.
All my tubes and wires.
This is not a subject that I excelled in school, so I'm not.
What was your best subject in school?
Sex education, Rob. No, it was. I would say probably English. I was pretty good at the spoken word, the written word.
Excellent, very good. Somewhat
of a decent writer.
All right, this is a science quiz, so let's see if we can't get you all scienced up from the Pew Research Center. They surveyed 3,278 people. Only 6% of them got all these questions right.
How many questions are there?
I believe we will have 10.
All right. That's good. I like my odds.
The first question, and we can do multiple
choice. Are these multiple choice?
They can be, but if you want to ring in without the choices, that might actually show off a little.
First of all, I don't want to ring in. I just want to answer.
Well, I'm just speaking figuratively, of course.
All right.
What do you call an object in space that has an icy core with a tail of gas and dust that extends for millions of miles?
A comet.
Pony?
That would be a comet.
Comet, it is.
Okay, you don't have to have that attitude. Okay, I got that.
He's a little toony there.
That would be a comet. Pony, you fancy yourself as a science major? Is that
right?
Well,
I was a science major.
Oh, how'd that work out?
It went well, but I dropped it because I didn't want to do it.
I understand.
By the way, is Rofo writing down the answers?
You're right. All three of you are right, as a matter of fact. So if you can keep score, that is 1 point for
Rofo,
everybody.
Rofo, keep score. Write down the answers. And so I'm going up again. You were a science major?
Yeah, I was a biochemistry.
Were you just vaping?
Yes, I was.
Put it down. Goddamn vape down. Put the vape away for a month.
Yeah.
Jesus, can you do... Is that a, of course, that's a full nicotine vape, isn't it?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It tastes like Comet.
So you're still smoking regular cigarettes outside of the studio, and you're vaping inside. Do you want me just to bring, like, a big hood and fill it full of smoke so you can get all that?
No, that would be awful.
Okay.
But, Mike, oh, by the way, with Christmas coming up, we need you to chip in for Pony's coffin.
Very good.
Okay.
Vaping during the show.
Question two. Question two. What kind of waves are used to make and receive cell phone calls? What kind of waves are used to make and receive cell phone calls?
Now, are these multiple choices?
Now, I can give you choices if you like. If you like.
Well, no, let me add. When it's online.
Online, there are multiple choices, yes.
Give me the multiple choices.
Okay, choices are A, radio waves, B, visible light waves, C, sound waves, or D, gravity waves.
Let's let Pony go first.
That's radio.
Mike?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Radio.
Radio. Hey, I think that making Pony answer first
is
a good clue for everybody.
Okay, hold on before you go. So we've got eight more questions, correct?
Yes, yes.
We need to write our answers down.
Oh, so you need to lock in. Okay, very good. Or you can just all say them at the same time.
No, we have to write our answers down.
So that is a point for everybody.
All right.
If you see a picture of the three layers of Earth, which layer is the hottest? The crust, the mantle, or the core? The hottest layer of the Earth. It's the hottest. Mm-hmm. The crust, the layer, I'm sorry, the mantle, or the core?
All right, I'm in.
All right, is everybody in?
Yes.
All right, Mike, please reveal first.
Mantle, I said.
Ah, the mantle. Not only is it hot, but you can hang your stocking from it. Rob Ford.
I said the core.
Ah, the core. We have a disagreement.
The core as well.
Ah, 1.4, Pony and Rob Ford. The mantle is the middle.
You guys.
Hey!
I hate this game. I knew I'd hate the science quiz.
Can you imagine that on Jeopardy?
You know. Well, you say the core, and I think of Chris Core, and he was a cold-hearted man.
He was a very cold-hearted man.
He's still on the radio.
Hey, you know what? Here's a science question about Chris Core. Which WMAL staffer had crossed eyes?
Okay, let's move on.
All right, I'm sorry. We don't need to answer that one.
God damn it. I thought like the real inside part was like rock.
Yeah, man.
Okay, that's why I flunked science. Yeah, man.
Which of these is the main way that ocean tides are created? What is the main way ocean tides are created? The rotation of the Earth, B, the gravitational pull of the moon, C, the gravitational pull of the sun. The way that the ocean tides are created.
A, rotation of the Earth on its axis.
I'm locked in.
B, the gravitational pull of the moon.
Are you locked in? Say you're locked in, Tony. It's a radio show. You have to verbalize, for Christ's sake.
And the gravitational pull of the sun. Hey, did you hear about the Eskimo? Do you know why he washed his clothes in tide? Because it was too cold outside.
Oscar, please come back. That's the first time that I've missed him. That's the first moment. You had actually given me a day where I wasn't missing Oscar, but now I do.
I don't miss him at all.
I know you don't.
Pony, what is your answer?
Moon.
The gravitational pull of the moon. Mike.
I said B, the moon. And incidentally, Pony, we're going to need you to hold up those answers, please. I need you to actually write them down.
I don't have paper with
me here. I don't give a rat's ass. You show some of it. This is the initiative that I talk about all the time. Just write it down. We're writing it down.
You're getting fussy. You can still come back and win. Rob Ford, your answer?
I said the moon's gravity.
Hey, the moon's gravity.
Did you write down your answer?
I see it right there.
You have to. No. I'm being demanding. We write them down with a pen and paper. This is not the right and proper way to play the game, damn it.
There's paper in the blue box. Everybody gets a point. All right.
Yay.
I swear to God, it's like Pony practically ought to be in a cot.
Now, all right. I am not going to give multiple choices on this one. Okay? Right. We'll need your answer. Question five, what does a light year measure? If something is measured in light years, what are we measuring?
I'm in.
Mike is in. Pony?
I'm locked in.
Okay. He's learned how to use a pencil. And Rob Ford?
Locked in.
All right. Rob Ford, your answer, please. What does a light year measure?
It measures distance.
Distance is the answer for him. Mm-hmm. Pony?
Distance.
Mike O'Mara?
Distance.
Oh, everybody gets the point. It is measuring distance. It is the amount of distance that light travels in a year. And light moves quick, right?
How about that, huh? Yeah, all right.
All right. Question six. Denver, Colorado. Where pot is legal.
Or Colorado.
Colorado. Denver, right. Colorado is at a higher altitude than Los Angeles, California. Which of these statements is correct? I'm going to give you three statements, all right?
Okay.
One, water boils at a lower temperature in Denver than in Los Angeles. Two, water boils at a higher temperature in Denver than Los Angeles. Three, water boils at the same temperature in both Denver and Los Angeles. So, water boils at a lower temperature in Denver, water boils at a higher temperature in Denver, or water boils at the same temperature in Denver.
All right.
Mike is locked in. Pony is locked in.
I am locked in.
Pony, your answer, please.
Lower temperature.
Water boils at a lower temperature in Denver. Mike.
I said A, lower temperature.
Lower temperature.
Boils lower.
Everybody gets a point. It is indeed a lower temperature. That's right. Next question.
Exciting. Very good. All right.
Which of these... When light passes through a magnifying glass, what happens? A, light stays straight. B, light spreads out. C, light converges on itself. Or D, light reflects. When light goes through a magnifying glass, does it stay straight, spread out, converges on itself, or reflects?
All right.
This is not an easy quiz, by the way. You guys are doing very, very well.
All right.
And many of you are doing perfectly.
Okay.
Not everybody. Mike, your answer is, please?
C, converges.
Converges on itself?
It converges on itself.
Converges.
Everybody gets the point.
Are
That's
you a
exactly
nerd, Nick,
right.
too, Rofo? You guys are just like saying something. Converges. It's simple stuff.
Look at the glasses in the gut. Of course I am.
All right. The loudness of a sound is determined by what property of a sound wave? A, frequency. B, wavelength. C, velocity. D, amplitude. The loudness of a sound is determined by frequency, wavelength, velocity, or amplitude. Please let me know when you have
locked
signed in.
Locked in.
Locked in? Mike? Oh. It's a timed quiz. Pencils down.
No. All right. I'm in.
That's,
I'm in.
By the way, the impression of Mike and his SATs.
No.
Rob Ford, answer, please.
Amplitude.
Mike O'Mara?
I said wavelength.
Ooh, point for Rob Ford and Pony. No for Mike O'Mara. We're looking for amplitude there. So sorry.
How many more do we have?
I have two more. Two more.
So I've officially lost now.
No, but Mike, points are doubled. This one is worth 10 points.
Okay, very good. Very good. I'm very excited.
Which element is needed to make nuclear energy and nuclear weapons?
Hold on. Rofo has a question for the teacher.
Yes.
Go ahead, Rofo.
His answer, ashtrays, is incorrect. Right, which element is needed to make nuclear energy and nuclear weapons?
I'm locked in.
Locked in, Mike? The element that is required to make nuclear energy and nuclear weapons. Remember, this is worth 10 points. All right, Mike, I need your answer, please.
Here we go. I said uranium.
Uranium? Rob Ford?
Uranium.
Uranium?
Same here.
Uranium. Everybody gets 10 points.
Woo!
And our final question is worth...
Final question.
Yes, Mike O'Mara.
No, go ahead.
All right, the final question is worth 3,000 points.
Oh, this is exciting. Okay, very good. All right.
Who developed the polio vaccine? Who developed... The polio vaccine. Mike is in, and an advantage because he's older. True. I don't mean that as a dig, but it makes it gives you an advantage.
Yep. Okay. I'll go last.
Mike is in. Pony.
I had Marco.
Marco Polo, I suppose.
Polio. 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 God damn it.
Yeah. Okay. If it was funnier, I would have gotten
go
it.
Go to hell.
I'm locked in. I had Paul Polio.
Paul Polio. I'm sorry, Mike. Your answer?
I said... Jonas Salk.
And Mike wins! Yay! Jonas Salk.
I win. I win because Rob made the last question in my favorite.
I love you, boys.
Anyway.
Mike, you know what you are? You're a scientist.
I'm a dumbass. They got all of them right except for that last one.
Jonas Salk!
But it was 350,000 points. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. News you may not need. Coming up next.
It's Rob and Katie.
I even put the conditioner part on for 2 minutes, washed it right out.
Did it smell?
Oh, yeah. My hair still kind of stinks.
That's like the worst smell. It used to be when you go to a department store and they'd have like a hair place in the back of the department store.
As you got closer.
And it's like, oh.
That weird smell.
Yeah, horrible.
But that was also the smell of perm.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, listen very carefully. What she said was, perm.
Perm.
P-E-R-M.
Smells like perm in here.
Okay. I got perm all over everything.
Okay. Oh, God, stop
it. You got
it.
Perm everywhere.
Oh, ladies, right. Don't like that.
Stop. So please, much come on. Stop
got
it.
Perm on their dress.
Okay,
good
stop
luck explaining
it.
Explaining that to their husband.
That's it. Stop.
True
I don't want to hear that promo again.
Not really.
Cake and cookies. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
God, I got a shower after that promo. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, you can be one of our MVPs. Just make the Mike O'Mara Show Amazon most valuable purchase. All you have to do is shop through our Amazon page, then tell us what you bought by emailing us at MVP@MikeO'MaraShow.com. MVP@MikeO'MaraShow.com. MVPs will be featured on the show. Whoa, whoa. And even better, this Christmas, we will cover the cost of the MVP purchases of 5 randomly chosen MVP listeners. It's our treat that is truly MVP treatment and a little holiday magic. Anybody can win, and any purchase can win, but MVP purchases have doubled the chance to win this holiday this holiday season. Yes, Rob.
All the rules are on our website, and once again, congratulations to the lovely Joan Kelly of Carmichael, California, this week's MVP. Thank you, Joni.
Woo! Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Buy stuff, send us your proof of purchase, and get ready to win. Good luck. We want you to be our MVP, ladies and gentlemen.
News.
Here we go. As silly as it seems, the rumor that O.J. Simpson is Khloe Kardashian's real dad simply won't go away.
It's been around a long time, this rumor. I remember hearing it a long time ago.
And now somebody new is saying it. His name is Jeffrey Felix, and he used to be a guard at the Nevada prison where O.J. is very possibly living out the rest of his life.
True enough.
Felix claims that he became a trusted friend and confidant to O.J., so of course he's now writing a book about it. And he claims that Khloe has been begging him to take a paternity test. But there's no need for it because O.J. has told Felix that he, quote, never tapped Kris Jenner. That's the that's the story. But from this guy saying Khloe is begging to, I guess, get the air cleared on this.
I suppose. Now, help me with the timeline. Was O.J. in jail when that pregnancy would have happened?
No.
So it was before.
No way.
Before.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Khloe's older. I think that's obvious. But that's the way. And he's talking about OJ a lot. I saw this guy last night on the news. He was interviewed. And he also says they call him the bobblehead because his head is so much bigger than his body. And that OJ gained a ton of weight. And then he was up for parole and he lost a ton of weight because he thought that would influence the parole board. Just, the guy is living a very, very horrible life right now.
Well, that's a shame.
His detractors are happy about that.
I would love to see a fat OJ running through an airport to a Cinnabon.
Yes, there you go. Well, you only see him going to the prison cafeteria.
Amen, brother.
Burt Reynolds and Sally Field stopped being a couple more than 30 years ago, but he still regrets letting her get away.
Really?
Yes, that's right. He calls her, quote, the love of my life, and says, I miss her terribly.
That's very sweet.
He says, even now, it is hard on me. And you know what? You've seen Bert lately. Bert is 80 now?
Gotta be 80.
He adds, quote, I don't know why I was so stupid. Men are like that, you know? You find the perfect person, and then you do everything you can to screw it up. Bert and Sally dated in the late 70s and early 80s, did four movies together, Smokey and the Bandit,
yep.
Smokey and the Bandit 2, Hooper, and The End. And I thought they were...
Oh, The End was a great movie.
And on screen, they were absolutely incredible together.
He let a lot of good-looking women go. Remember, he also boned Judy Card and Dinah Shore.
Yeah, Dinah Shore. That was the weird one.
That is a little off.
Did he move on to Dinah Shore after Sally Field?
No, I think Dinah Shore was pre that. I think.
Interesting. Surveillance footage of Serena Williams, I saw this last night as well, chasing down the man who tried to steal her phone, hit the internet yesterday. If you somehow forgot the story already, Serena was at a restaurant with a friend when a man grabbed her phone right off their table and ran. Brazen robbery. I mean,
who would have that kind of guts?
This is the internet, Steve Mermelstein.
That's right, it was Steve Mermelstein.
I'm running.
Guy's like standing up at a bar area, their table, they're in a Chinese restaurant, and their table's right up against this, he's leaning against something, he just leans down and picks it up.
Wow.
Well, she did something that a lot of people are saying was not the right thing to do.
What's that?
But she ran after him, and she caught up to him outside the restaurant, confronted him, and got it back. There are two things they're saying about this story. It's a 17-second video. Apparently, what she did that was stupid was chase him altogether.
Sure.
What she did that was smart was she said, I think you accidentally picked up my phone, giving him an out, and he handed it back to her.
Wow.
And they're saying that was very smart. But at the same time, you never know what the deal is, whether he might, you know, she should have grabbed some other people and said, get this guy. But, you know, when you think about it, it's your phone. Yeah, she had incredible balls to do this.
Sure.
But, you know, when she confronted him, that was brilliant, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you
especially with as brazen as he was in taking it and giving him an out. But, you know, you think about it, to lose your phone nowadays, used to be the worst thing you could do was lose your wallet. The wallet doesn't mean anything anymore next to your phone.
Your phone's got all your stuff on
everything.
It. You know, it's got a lock on it. Nobody can use it anyway. Mm. She caught up to the guy on the sidewalk. Did you guys see the video? It was pretty incredible.
I've not seen it, but you know, I think the way she handled it, I think it's very cool, and it would take a lesson.
A 32-year-old Star Wars fan named Daniel Fleetwood started a campaign to get an early screening of The Force Awakens because he has terminal cancer and was afraid he wouldn't make it to the official release date. This is a sweet story.
Yes.
His cause was even taken up by Mark Hamill, the guy who plays Chewbacca, and John Boyega. So three people from the cast actually took up the guy's case. One of the stars of the new movie, that's John Boyega.
Okay.
Let me re-say that. Okay.
Okay.
This absolutely stellarly written piece of copy right here.
Yes, it's wonderful.
His cause was taken up by Mark Hamill, the guy that plays Chewbacca, and John Boyega.
Understood.
On Wednesday, Disney execs showed up at his house with a copy. That's right. The execs did. Director J.J. Abrams even called Daniel before the movie. Security was pretty heavy. Disney brought their own equipment to play the movie on. Okay. And Daniel and his wife had to sign confidentiality agreements.
Well,
okay, geez. Disney.
I understand.
But
I know,
geez,
and you know, and you know what? Here's the thing: it is an incredibly sweet story.
It's sweet that they actually did it, but give me a
boy, are they riding the publicity train on it? And also the whole confidentiality agreement thing. Come on, relax, re-effing lax.
Yeah, but the they had an amazing experience. Mark Hamill tweeted, "Quote: I just read this. I'm elated for Daniel and his family. Thanks to the powers that be for making his dream come true. It is great publicity for the movie.
It's great, and I think the nicest thing is that Disney charged him a matinee price. He didn't have to pay a full price for his ticket.
I swear to God, I would like to sincerely apologize to everyone. I should have put that story in the trash can. They just exploited a man with cancer to sell tickets to their movie.
Yeah.
I am not happy about that, and I was culpable.
No,
I was
fine.
A party to that.
Look at it now, Mike. Now everyone's talking about Star Wars, whereas before no one cared.
That is, you know what? I'm almost going so far, Pony, as to say we should actually edit that out, and I think we will.
Okay. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's a sweet story about the guy. It's, it was fine.
It's fine, but you know
now
what?
Now I feel like I'm part of a Disney conspiracy. I feel dirty.
Yeah.
Bindi Irwin is doing very well on Dancing with the Stars, and the longer you stay on the show, the more prize money you can earn. She's only 17, so she needs her parents to sign off on her contract before it's considered valid. Her mother's already done that, but an L.A. Superior Court judge is refusing to let her collect any money until her dad signs off on it. Duh.
What?
Obviously, he's dead, so Bindi had to provide some kind of documentation to prove that. Clearly, this is a technicality, since a five-second Google search will give you countless reports of Steve Irwin's death. Lawyers for Dancing with the Stars say they'll make sure things get worked out. I'm sure it will. Bindi will receive her money, actually quite a bit, $230,000 so far,
from
being on that little show Dancing with the Stars. So way to go, Bindi.
Yeah, but this happens every time Tom Bergeron plays hardball. What a dick.
I don't believe you, Stars.
I never heard he was dead.
And now a little something-something. It's about damn time science did something useful. A nonprofit group called American Chemical Society just tackled one of the most pressing issues known to mankind. What is the best type of cheese to use in a grilled cheese sandwich? They analyzed the properties that make cheese melt in an ideal gooey way, including the breakdown of its proteins and its levels of lactic acid. After quite a bit of experimenting, the top three cheeses are, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes, a good cheese list.
In order, Gouda. Gruyere. And Manchego.
Ah, Manchego.
Exotic.
Now, I know what you're thinking. How about the cheese I actually have in my fridge? Your best bet from those is a mild cheddar, they say.
Ah, of course.
It won't melt quite as well as those fancy cheeses, but it's better than most of the other options. Oh, here, listen to that. That's the sound of Rob Spiewak becoming visibly aroused, ladies and gentlemen.
Very good. I'm going to have to remain seated during the audio vault, Mike.
Did you ever make a Gruyere grilled cheese, Rob?
I only have Gruyere on French onion soup. I don't think I've ever cooked with it. Hey, you want a tip, though, Mike? If you're going to make a grilled cheese,
a four cheese Mexican blend grated is very good.
Thank you very much, Rob. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault. Last one of the week right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gary from the Two Man March.
Yes, he is. And I'm massaging his feet right now because on tomorrow's show, we completely review the Two Man March, which was a huge success.
Gigantic.
Speaking of gigantic, the World Series. Fox is carrying. I go a long way away for dinner. What could go wrong?
Nothing.
Oh, we'll tell you about it. TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by CH Wine, Cameron Hughes Wine. I still have Cameron Hughes Wine from last year that is aging beautifully in my closet. I love Cameron Hughes. They find premium vineyards that have a little extra of their best wines. Then they buy them, and they sell direct to customers. We talked about it for a long time. Great to have them back. They allow you to drink the exact same wine that you'd find at expensive high-end wineries, but you're paying a lot less. We're talking 40 to 80% off what you pay for the same wine on under another label. For example, the average price of a 2012 Napa Valley Cab with Wine Spectator score of 90 or better is $155. Cameron Hughes Wine has three 90-plus cabs on that list, averaging $30 a bottle. Mm. Plus, this wine is a sure thing for the holiday season. Cameron Hughes only delivers the best wine, so no more worrying about which wine to pick out. Your friends, family, and coworkers will be terribly impressed with you.
Ooh, la, la.
We love Cameron Hughes, and I know you will too, so we convinced Cameron to make this exclusive offer this week only. Free shipping and a free sommelier corkscrew. These wines are already a great deal, and this offer makes it a no-brainer. The only way to get free shipping and a free sommelier corkscrew is to go to chwine.com, click the microphone in the upper left, and enter TMOS. That's chwine.com. Click the mic and enter TMOS. Don't wait. This wine is fantastic. This deal is fantastic, and I want her. I want you to order some today.
Do it.
CH Wine. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let me open this and say it's
Thank
time
you.
For the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
We just talked Star Wars. There is actually a movie opening that I am excited about, and if I can talk Robert into going with, I will go see it tomorrow. I'm into this movie, Spectre. They say it's the biggest, most explosive James Bond movie ever made. And there's
a lot of buzz online about it.
A lot of
it,
great
absolutely.
Buzz. And there's actually a very funny montage that I found online, and it's on YouTube. It's simply called James Bond is a Terrible Employee. They've taken clips from all 24 of the Bond movies, and I think you'll enjoy it. Remember, James Bond is a terrible employee.
Now that we're all here...
Are you paying attention, 007?
Pay attention, 007.
Oh, grow up, 007.
You've only got 4 days, 007. Don't spend your time sitting around.
Try to be a little less than your usual frivolous self, 007.
And 007. Try not to muck it up again.
Look, 007, I'm in no mood for your juvenile quips.
Well, get cracking, 007.
I will not tolerate insubordination, 007.
That's not funny, 007. Most unhappy, 007, thanks to you.
Need I remind you, 007, that you have a license to kill, not to break the traffic laws.
And also, when you look for that, look for the other montage that walks hand in hand that says, James Bond probably has a headache. It's a 40-second montage of just James Bond being knocked unconscious.
You know, it shows you exactly how that British training in acting goes. They delivered the lines identically.
I noticed the exact same emotion.
Try not to screw it up, 007.
And it's a man, it's a woman, it's a comic, it's a straight actor. They all do it exactly
That's
the
cool.
same way.
Very,
so if I see
cool.
Spectre, I'll have a full report for you on Monday.
Oh, good. All right, good stuff.
Another thing, something I didn't realize this. Did you know that President Obama says hey a lot? He
no,
just says,
hey,
check this out. Hey. Yeah, here's President Obama.
Hey.
No, no, no. This is actually the Kimmel Show put this montage together.
Give it up to the MLS champ, Sporting Kansas City. Hey. NASCAR Sprint Cup champion. Hey. 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 Hey.
Hey.
Hey.
Now he says, "Hey, that's what it is." Would you like to have the same name as a famous person? Actually,
no.
You do, because you're Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, but I'm not famous like I used to be.
So there's
Thank
a fellow
you.
In Seattle. This fellow has a name. It's Taylor Swift. And the thing is that he was interested when she started to come up through the ranks. He said, oh, that's kind of neat. I got to check this out. But it turns out now it's actually sort of infringing on his lifestyle, because she's
so
the biggest
star.
He
was named Swift, and they gave him the name Taylor,
and
a
he
male
was,
named Taylor.
And
he's
older
an older
than,
guy.
Older than Taylor Swift.
Okay,
and so as she came up through the ranks, he's really getting a lot of stuff about this.
Even at Starbucks, and they ask your name, and it's like Taylor, and it's like, oh, wouldn't that be funny if your last name was Swift? Here's my debit card. Surprise. I have a folder that currently has 539 emails in it. It's a great confidence booster. It's like endless amounts of you're beautiful, you're so talented, you're a great role model. Dear Taylor Swift, I just wanted to say that you are an inspiration to many young girls. Dear Taylor, I'm your biggest fan ever. Your songs cheer me up, and this is why I admire you. Who wouldn't love that? I mean, it's just so sweet.
It is sweet.
Yeah,
he looks a little bit like Jesus Christ. Christ.
Oh, really?
A blonde, a fair-haired Christ.
Oh, that's good. They picked the right guy.
And, have you heard Ben Carson's new radio ad that came out?
I have not.
Oh, it's
the rap. It's the supposed rap. To be. I actually have not heard it until right now.
What I love is that they asked Ben Carson about it, and I would think that you'd be more hands-on on something as big as your first
it's
big radio commercial.
It's pretty funny his answer with this.
He
it
says,
is.
I would have taken a different approach. So he's distancing himself from his own ad.
Heal. Vote. Inspire. Vote, revive, vote, Ben Carson 2016, vote and support Ben Carson for our next president and be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility.
And it goes on like that. I don't like to steal a joke, but I will on this time. Seth Meyers ran it last night, and he said, so remember to vote for Ben Carson in 1992. Thank you, Seth. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's at michaelmarischow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about our Amazon MVP contest. Spread the word about TMOS. Help us any way you can, ladies and gentlemen. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, also Matt Ponyboy Bloom.
Yay.
And Rob Rovoford.
Yay!
This is Mike O'Mara saying so long. Do we have any other interns that are in today?
Nope. Or
is that
No. But hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. And hi, Mac. How are you?
Hello, Diego.
Oh.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, not so fast, Mr. Big Shot. I got to tell you that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and use our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.